Something from the Bible. Lord, I ask that you'd help everybody to be attentive, Lord, and that they'd be able to receive your word. And Lord, that we would leave here tonight knowing that we have met with you. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Philemon. And the book of Philemon deals with a very interesting story, and we're not going to be dealing with it. But Philemon deals with the Apostle Paul stepping in for this young man, Philemon, a servant that he met there who ran away from his master, physical master there, and he's... Paul is interceding for him and trying to help him there. And like I said, we're not dealing with the book of Philemon. But tonight, I wanted to bring a kind of specific or unique type sermon. Normally, we're studying through, right now, we're in the book of Ruth, and we're studying through the life of Ruth. But this is our last week in the house. We've been talking about it a lot, and we've been announcing it a lot, how the church is moving from this, our house here, and we're moving on to a new building. And this is the last, this morning and tonight, the last Sunday services we're having here. Wednesday is going to be the last service we'll have here in the house, and then we'll move and be in the building. But I wanted to just take a moment. Wednesday's 4th of July, so we'll be preaching kind of a 4th of July themed sermon. But I want to take a moment tonight and preach a sermon before we leave the house. I want to preach a sermon and explain to you a few things from the Bible. Specifically, I'm preaching on the subject of why we even started a church in the house. And why we even, you know, began it this way and why we did those things. And I'm not going to be very long tonight. But point number one, I'd like you to understand the reasons that we started a church in the house. Point number one is to follow the scriptural pattern found in the Bible. If you're there in Philemon, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timotheus our brother, unto Philemon our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Notice what it says, verse 2. And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. Notice what he says. This is the Apostle Paul. And he says, and to the church in thy house. Do you see that? The Bible records for us the Apostle Paul writing a letter and addressing a letter to a church that is meeting in a house. Let me show you another example. Go there. You're there in Philemon. Go over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 16. In your New Testament, you've got the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then you've got the book of Romans. Romans is the sixth book in the Bible. Romans chapter number 16. If you look at verse number 5, Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 5, the Bible says, likewise, greet the church, notice what it says, that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Apinius, to who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Notice the Apostle Paul here as he's ending the letter to the church at Rome. He ends it by saying, hey, I'd like you to greet, if you look at verse 3, it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And I want you to understand that the famous book of Romans... I'm sure we've all, you know, if you've been in church any period of time, you've heard of the book of Romans, and you've heard of that great church in Rome, and you've got to understand that this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to the church at Rome was a church that was meeting in a house. The book of Philemon there was written unto a man. He said, hey, and by the way, greet the church that is in thy house. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Go past the book of Romans. You've got the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 16. Look at verse number 19. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 16. Look at verse number 19. 1 Corinthians 16, 19. 1 Corinthians 16, 19. The Bible says, the church of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. Notice what it says. Again, we're referring to the church of Aquila and Priscilla. It says, with the church that is in their house. Do you see that? Go with me just real quickly to the book of Colossians. Go past the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, past the book of Galatians, past the book of Ephesians, and then past the book of Philippians, and then you'll find the book of Colossians, chapter number 4. Colossians, chapter number 4, look at verse number 15. Colossians, chapter number 4, look at verse number 15. The Bible says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis. Notice what it says, and the church which is in his house. I want you to understand something. Today, We have a class of church builders or preachers or church planners, these professional church planners. And today, you pick up a book on church planning. You go to a Bible college and take a course on how to start a church. You try to talk to somebody. There's all sorts of ministries that can help you start a church. You talk to these people, and they'll tell you the worst thing you can ever do when it comes to starting a church is to start a church in your house. They say it's too unprofessional. They say it doesn't work. Today, you know, people won't show up to a house to listen to someone preach. Doesn't seem like it, right? And we've got a group here. But today people say, people literally will look at men like me or men, you know, other people have started, and they'll say, that won't work. That doesn't make sense. That you got to go get a nice building, and you got to go get a nice facility. You got to get something with a steeple and stained glass windows, and you got to invest all this money. And I often, when I hear people say that, I ask myself, have you ever even read the New Testament once? Because if you've read the Bible, you would realize that all throughout the New Testament, you find the Apostle Paul saying, to the church in thy house, to the church in thy house. And let me tell you something. You say, well, Pastor, why are you preaching a whole sermon on why we start the church in the house? Because things matter. And if Verity Baptist Church is going to be the type of church that we claim to be, where we take the Bible and we take it literally and we take the Bible, the verses, and we believe all that it says, hey, we got to believe the practical stuff too. The Bible says there was a church, so you say, well, we want to be a scriptural church. Yeah, we're going to start in the house. Now, we don't mean to stay in the house. We're not going to stay in the house. But the number one reason we started church in the house was to follow the scriptural pattern found in the Bible of starting churches in the house. There was a day in our nation when all churches started in houses. Today is not so. But there's more reasons. I said, number one, we started the church in the house to follow the scriptural pattern. Number two, we started the church in the house to emphasize people. To emphasize people. You're there in the book of Thessalonians. Go with me. Go past the book of Thessalonians. Past the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. Past the book of Titus. Past the book of Philemon, where we started. And go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. Hebrews, chapter number 2. And look at verse number 12. These are verses I've showed you before, but Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. And I want you to make note of this phrase. He says, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now do me a favor, keep your finger there in Hebrews chapter number 2, and go with me to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. Psalm 22, and look at verse number 22. Psalm 22 and verse 22. Keep your finger there in Hebrews. We're coming right back to it. Psalm 22, if you open up your Bible right smack down in the middle of the Bible, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm 22 and look at verse number 2. Psalm 22, look at verse number 22. The Bible says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Does this sound familiar? In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. I want you to see something. In the Bible, in Psalm 22:22. In the Old Testament, is re-quoted for us. It's reinstated for us in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 22. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. The book of Hebrews 2:12 in the New Testament is quoting for us Psalm 22:22. Do you see the analogy there? If you look at Psalm 22:22, it says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Hebrews 2:12 says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. What's the difference? What are the words that have been swapped out? Now here's what you got to understand. The Bible is its own dictionary. Whenever you find the Bible quoting itself and it quotes itself differently, that's not a contradiction. That's not a mistake. God is trying to teach us something. God is trying to explain to us something. And the fact that Psalm 22:22 in the Old Testament says, in the midst of the congregation, and then in Hebrews 2:12, that same verse is reinstated, but it's reinstated as in the midst of the church. What God is trying to explain to us is that that word church means congregation. That's what the word church means. You know, we could go into the Greek and all that, but you don't even have to. You can just study your Bible and see that the Bible uses that word congregation, but in the New Testament, it replaces the word congregation, and it uses that word church. Go with me real quickly to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 7. Look at verse number 38. Acts chapter number 7. And verse number 38. I've showed you this recently as well, but I want you to see it again. Acts chapter number 7, verse 38. If you read the Old Testament, you'll find all throughout the entire Old Testament that the children of Israel were referred to as the congregation. You'll find verse after verse after verse in the Old Testament, where it talks about how they brought the congregation together, and they're referred to as the congregation over and over and over again. But in the book of Acts, chapter number 7 and verse 38, the Bible says, this is he that was in, notice what it says, the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. I'd like you to notice that when the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew, uses the word congregation, and that is reinstated in the New Testament, which was written in Greek, it's reinstated using this word church. Because the word church means congregation. And what you've got to understand is that a church is not a building. Oftentimes, you know, you're driving down the street and you say, oh, there's that church down the street. You know, I do the best that I can. I don't think you will never hear me refer to, at least not on purpose, refer to the location we're going to be meeting at as the church. You know, you understand what I'm talking about? You know, these guys, I have to say, hey, meet me down at the building. Why? Because that's all it is. It's a building. That's not a church. You say, well, what's the church? This is the church right here. The church is the people. The church is the congregation. The church is not walls. The church is not a roof. The church is not windows. That's just a location. The church can meet in a house, can meet in a beautiful building, can meet under a tree, and it still be a church because the church is a congregation, the assembling of believers. That's what a church is. But today, people want to emphasize buildings. They want to emphasize money. They want to emphasize things. And let me tell you something. When we started our church, the last thing we wanted to emphasize was building and money and finance. We want to emphasize people. Amen. Now here's the problem. You say, well, Pastor, don't you think it's good to get a building? I mean, I think it's good to get a building. We're getting a building. But here's the problem I have with new churches getting a building. Because here's what they'll teach today. They'll teach, if you're going to start a church, you've got to go out, and for 2 to 3 years, you do what's called deputation. Who's ever heard the word deputation? Deputation is where somebody goes out, and they spend 2 or 3 years living in like an RV or something, and they just go from church to church to church to church with their hand out, asking to be supported. Now look, I'm all for supporting missionaries abroad, but people starting churches in America, I'm kind of iffy with that. But here's what they'll teach. So these guys will come out of Bible college, and then they'll spend the next 2 or 3 years of their lives living in a in an RV somewhere, going from church to church, asking for money so that they can have money coming in, you know, on a monthly basis. And the church will say, I'll give you $50 a month. And then they'll go to the next church, I'll give you $100 a month. And then the next church, I'll give you $25 a month. And they get all this money, and then once they got like $5,000, which is a ridiculous amount to live off of, I think, if you're a preacher, then they'll go and they're going to start their church because they're getting fully paid. Do you understand the concept? And then this is what they'll do. They go out and they find a building. Now here's the issue. Try to follow my line of thought. When my wife and I started this church, the first few services were not like this, just so you know. I mean, we literally had services at the beginning there where it was me, my wife, my boys, and like one other person. Now here's what you gotta understand. If I would have followed their plan, here's what I would have done. I would have gone out and bought got this 1,000 square foot building to hold me, my wife, my boys, and a visitor. And guess what? Visitors don't usually tithe. So there's a lot of money coming in. And what happens is, do you know that most churches quit, they close their doors in the first 5 years of their inception? Here's why. Financial problems. And here's what happens, and here's the lie of the devil. He tries to get these men to go out and start churches, and they've got, you rent a building, you've got a $1,700, you know, monthly payment for this, and you've got this and that. And here's what happens. You have these people come, but here's what you got to understand, okay? When you're under financial stress, every time someone shows up, you don't want them to leave. You know why? Because you need their money. You understand what I'm saying? See, but one of the reasons we started the church in the house, you know why I started the church in the house? Because I wanted to have the liberty and the freedom to stand up and preach whatever I wanted that came out of the Bible and preach it without, you know, being scared, preach it with boldness, and just give you the unadulterated, unedited Word of God. And you know what? I have never stood behind this pulpit and been afraid of anything I said and been afraid that anybody leave. Because you know what? If anybody leaves this church, you know it doesn't bother me one bit. I mean, I love those people and I don't want them to leave. But you know that? I'm not afraid. Oh, if so-and-so back there, you know, if he leaves and we might not be able to pay the bill. You know why? Because we're starting a house. You know how much it costs us to meet in the house? Zero. Nothing. I'm already living here, you know? It's free. And you know that, what you say, well, how much, you know, these guys come out of Bible and go, well, we're going to need $10,000. You need a $1,200 for your visitor's card, and then you need this and that. You need this beautiful building. You need to have all these, and you know how much it costs us to start Berry Baptist Church? Nothing. Zero. Because look, how much does it cost me to go out and knock on the door and give the gospel to somebody? How much does it cost me to stand up behind the pulpit and preach God's word? It doesn't cost me anything. But today, people want to be under, you know, you get under financial stress, and then you're worried. You don't want to offend anyone because you don't want them to leave because you need their money. Because you need a payment. And what we wanted to do when we started Berry Baptist Church, we wanted to just have the liberty to preach God's word. And guess what? We didn't take the step of moving to a building until we've had a core group of people that were going to finance the church, and they were already part of this church. They were already committed. They already know what we believe. They've already heard me say all the weird things. They've already heard me say all the God. You know, honestly, tell me the truth. You think this morning, you think the sermon that I preached this morning, I could have preached if I was afraid that if people left, I couldn't pay that building that we're getting next week? I mean, this morning I was screaming and yelling. Some of you know, people were, Pastor said the word queer from the pulpit. And I'll say it again. I'm not, you say, well, that's kind of arrogant. You got to understand that when you put men in fear, when you put men under financial obligation, and they're scared because, well, I can't say, well, I better not say that because that's kind of controversial, and I better not talk about that because that's kind of controversial, and I better not deal with that issue because I don't want people to get offended. Look, I don't want you to get offended either, but I'm not afraid to preach God's word. You know why? Because we start this church in the house. Because there's no fear. Because this church is not one person. We don't got some millionaire somewhere, you know, just putting money in and financing this thing, and we got to keep that millionaire happy. We're just a group of broke people preaching God's word. And it doesn't matter. And you say, well, why are we leaving the house? Because we can afford to leave the house. And we didn't have to. And by the way, imagine, you know how old our church is? Our church started September 5th, 2010. That makes us, what, a year and 10 months old? You know, if I would have followed the pattern that we were taught by these church planners, guess where I'd still be right now? I'd be in some church somewhere asking them for money so I could start a church. You understand what I'm saying? Everything that has happened in the last year and 10 months, the 20 and some odd people that we've baptized in the last year and a few months, the, you know, 150 to like 200 people that have been saved through the ministry of this church in the last year and 2 months. All the people that came to this church that have been affected, that have learned. I mean, constantly we have people come up and say, I've never learned so much Bible until I came to Verity Baptist Church. I used to go to another church and it didn't really affect me, it didn't really change me, nothing really happened, but I started, I mean, somebody was telling me just earlier this week, I didn't quit drinking until I came to this church. I didn't quit, you know, I didn't fix these things and I didn't deal with these issues until I came to Verity. And none of that would have happened. And we wouldn't have started the church in the house because we'd still be out on deputation trying to get support for a building that we don't need because no one's coming. What do you need a building for if nobody's coming to your church? I said we started the church in the house, number one, to follow a scriptural pattern, but number two, because we want to emphasize people, not buildings, not money. You know, I thank God that we've got people today that are committed and are sold out to this church. We've got people who this is their church. I'm their pastor. They're not leaving. They're more radical than I am. Good night. They're more crazy than I am. And they want to be a part of this. But you know what? I'm not afraid of those people leaving. But we started to emphasize people. And you've got to understand, you're there where are you at? Acts? Go meet a Titus. Go back towards the end of your New Testament. You find all those T books, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Actually, don't go to Titus. Go to 2nd Timothy. 2nd Timothy, chapter number 4. 2nd Timothy, chapter number 4. Look at verse number 3. 2nd Timothy, chapter number 4 and verse number 3. 2nd Timothy 4:3, the Bible says, for the time will come. 2nd Timothy, chapter number 4. And verse number 3, the Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Let me tell you something. That verse right there describes the average church in America today. You go to the average church today and they're not going to tell you anything you need to hear. They're not going to say anything controversial. They'll tell you Jesus loves you, and they'll tell you God loves you, and they'll preach to you a purpose-driven life and a purpose-driven church, and they'll say all sorts of generic things that don't offend you and don't affect you, but they're not going to tell you anything that might offend you that may help you. And the Apostle Paul said, hey, there is a time coming, Timothy, when men will not endure sound doctrine. They'll search for, here's the word, teachers having itching ears. Do you know what Pastor Jimenez is not? I'm not a teacher. You say, well, why are you? I'm a preacher. Now look, all good preaching is teaching, but all good teaching is not preaching. And today we got a whole lot of people that want to emphasize on teaching, but sometimes you got to emphasize on preaching a little bit. Look at verse number 2. Look what he said. He said, preach the word. He said, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He says, preach the word, for because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He said, that's why you need to preach the word. And what you've got to understand, my friend, you're there in 2 Timothy, go to the book of Titus, right after the book of 2 Timothy. Titus chapter number 1. Aren't you glad that I always put all the references right next to each other so you can find them easily? Titus chapter number 1, look at verse number 10. Titus chapter number 1, verse 10, the Bible says, for there are many, look what it says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Look what it says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. Notice what it says, teaching things which they ought not. Why? For filthy lucre's sake. That word lucre there means money. You gotta understand, just because somebody stands up with the Bible in their hand and calls themselves a pastor or calls themselves a preacher doesn't mean they're preaching and teaching God's word. And there are many men who stand up today and they teach the Bible. You say, why do they do it? Because there's good money in teaching the Bible. You say, well, how do I know? You know, you turn on your television, which we talked about this morning. I don't know how you're going to turn it on when you threw it out the window, but, you know, whatever. You turn on your television and you listen to who are the famous preachers? Joel Osteen. He's like the most famous preacher in America today, I think. Joel Osteen. You watch Joel, I don't understand why people watch. When I was a teenager, and I used to watch TV before I got right with God. I'm just kidding. When I'm not kidding. But, you know, and I used to watch Joel Osteen. And I thought to myself, why did 10,000 people come to Joel Osteen's church? And number one, the guy's boring. Number two, have you ever noticed he has like a mohawk thing going on? It's kind of weird. But here's the thing. Joel Osteen will never say anything that offends you. He will never say anything that's controversial. He will never say, but guess what? He'll also never say anything that'll help you grow and mature in your Christian life. Because you say, well, why do people go to Joel Osteen's church? Well, because they don't come for the 20-minute sermonette. They come for the hour and a half rock concert that they have before the service. You know, and we're supposed to be impressed, like, oh, wow, Joel Osteen has, you know, largest church in America. Look, do you know that all across America, there's 20,000 people going to rock concerts every day? That's not impressive. The world has rock concerts with 20,000 people. It's not impressive that you get a famous Christian rock band and get 20,000 people to show up, then you preach them for 5 minutes, and all of a sudden you're one of the godliest men in America. No, you're not. You say, well, why does Joel Osteen do it? Because there's good money in doing it. There's good money in having people come to church. There's good money. Let me tell you, there's good money in tickling people's ears and making them feel good. You know, our church, you say, well, Pastor Jimenez, you've been out there for less than 2 years, and look at you've only got, you know, 30 people come to church. Couldn't you do better than that? Of course, I mean, we could tone down the preaching. We could get rid of the King James Bible. We could get an NIV in here. We could tone down the preaching, bring it down to 20 minutes, bring in a rock band. Man, we could pack a building out and make a whole lot of money. You understand what I'm saying? But that's not what we're interested in doing. We're interested in preaching the word. We don't want to emphasize money. We don't want to emphasize buildings. We don't want to emphasize things. We want to emphasize people. I was talking to my good friend, Pastor Anderson. And he said, well, we're talking about moving to the building. And he said, yeah, I think it's time for you to move to the building. He said, I think you've made your point. What's the point? You say, well, what's the point? The point is this. We emphasize people. Let me tell you something. Verity Baptist Church is about people, not about buildings. It's about people, not about properties. It's about people, not about 15-passenger vans. Are you against 15-passenger vans? No. Praise the Lord, we got a 15-passenger van. Praise the Lord, we got a building. Praise the Lord, we're going to be able to expand and do things. But that's not what this church is about. This church is about people. It's about preaching God's word. It's about reaching people. It's about getting people saved. It's about discipling people. It was that when we started in the house, and it'll be that next week when we're at the building. That's not changing. And I want you to understand, we're not just because we're growing and we can bring more people, we're not going to water down the preaching. It's going to be the same. Because we've always been around about the subject of emphasizing people. Say, why did we start in the church, in the house? Number one, we started in the house to follow a scriptural pattern. Number two, we started in the house to emphasize people. Number three, we started in the house to be independent. Independent. What's that word independent mean? The word independent means to be self-governing. It means not dependent. It means self-reliant. At Verity Baptist Church, we don't depend on it. Look, we're not part of a denomination. We don't have the Southern Baptist Church financing this meeting today. We don't have any, you know, we don't have 50 other Baptist preachers sending me $50 a week so they can try to control what I say. The Bible tells us, you're there, where are you? Timothy? Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, look at verse number 8. You go past the book, right before the book of Timothy. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, look at verse number 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse 8, the Bible says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, by the way, one of the greatest men who ever walked the earth said this. He said, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, the word naught means there for nothing, but wrought, that word wrought means worked, with labor and travail night and day, look what he says, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Paul said, I didn't take any money from anybody. He said, I didn't go and ask anybody to support me. He said, I worked night and day, and I paid for my own meals. I paid for my own bread. I paid my own bills. He said, I paid my own way. And he said, because I didn't want to be chargeable to anybody. I didn't want to owe anybody. You know what I think? You know what I praise God for? Verity Baptist Church doesn't owe anybody anything. There's no church out there that says, well, we helped him start. Well, we gave them money. Nobody gave us money. When we bought that 15-passenger van, we bought that. You say, where'd that money come from? It came from this group right here. These people right here came together. This autonomous, local, independent Baptist church came together. Hey, this church got that building. This church remodeled that building. Praise God, hopefully we'll finish it. This church brought all of that together. Nobody helped us. We didn't get money from anybody. You say, well, why not? Because we're independent. You say, well, it's hard to be independent, Pastor. It'd be so much better if we had a church and other, you know, denominations financing us. Yeah, but if they finance you, they control you. If they finance you, they can tell you what to say, they can tell you what to preach, they can tell you where to go, they can tell you what not to do, and they can fire you. The Bible teaches us we ought to have local, autonomous churches. Nobody writes my sermons, except my wife every once in a while. I'm just kidding. She doesn't do that. You guys all think, you know, oh, pastor's wife writes her sermons. Yeah, I got to tone them down, man. She's radical. Nobody writes my sermons. Nobody tells us what to do or tells us what to preach. Today, you know, and all these, and here's my issue, all these so-called independent fundamental Baptist churches that are supposed to be independent, they all teach you to start a church, and then what happens is the sending church controls that church for like the first year of its existence. That pastor, they say, you know, the sending pastor, he's the actual pastor. And all the money goes back to that sending church. Let me tell you something, that's a denomination. You understand that? Now, the Bible teaches that churches ought to send out other churches, and we were scripturally sent out by Fellowship Baptist Church in Vacaville, California. But let me tell you something. September 5th, 2010, when we held our first service, we cut the umbilical cord and we became an independent Baptist church. We're independent. We paid our own way. You're there in 2 Thessalonians? Go to 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. Look at verse number 8. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2 and verse number 8. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2 and verse 8. Nobody helped us. Nobody started us. We're our own family. We reached our own people. We got our... And I'm saying that to say this. We're independent. We're not controlled by anybody. We're not controlled by an outside source. And the preaching behind this pulpit is not controlled by the congregation either. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, look at verse number 8. The Bible says, so being affectionately desirous of buildings. Is that what it says? Being effectually desirous of finances. Is that what it says? It says being effectually desirous of you. We were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, notice what he says, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. He said, Paul says this, we came into Thessalonians, we didn't ask anybody for money, we didn't ask anybody for support, we worked day and night, we went out and preached the gospel for free, because we didn't want to be chargeable or controlled by anybody. He says, we're independent. And that's what our church is, it's independent. Our church, you know, the amount of friends this church has, we can count on one hand. He said, well, Pastor, did you start with any support? I'll be very honest with you. This church started with two people supporting us, helping us. So who are those? My good friend, Pastor Steve Anderson, who I grew up with, started a church in Phoenix, Arizona. And obviously he was excited for us and helped us out and encouraged us. And then my pastor, Pastor Mark Lewis, Fellowship Baptist Church in Vacaville, California, obviously they sent us out to start the church. We didn't get help from anybody else. We didn't have this network of 20 other churches, you know, 50 other churches in America all helping us. In fact, I'll be very honest with you. If any, you know, we had two friends, but we had a whole lot of enemies. You think I'm joking, but, you know, when we started this church, you know, when we started this church, there was a pastor of a very well-established church in this area. They called somebody who knew us, and they said, I just want to tell you, we are not supporting that Roger Jimenez, we're not supporting him in his church at all. And they told me that, and I thought to myself, when did we ask? Never asked for your support. And we never asked for your permission either, by the way. But they said, we're not supporting you. We had another pastor of another church in this area, very well-established church. This church had been around for 8 years before we started. They called Pastor Mark Lewis, who was sending us out, and they said, listen, brother, I just want to explain to you a few reasons why I don't think you should help, send out that guy you're sending out. Can you imagine that? You say, we didn't start with a lot of friends. You say, well, what did we start with? We started with the Bible. And we started with soul winning. And we started with, we didn't emphasize money. We didn't emphasize buildings. We didn't emphasize material things. Here's what we emphasize: souls being saved, lives being changed, people preaching, getting the gospel preached to them. And yes, when you preach like this, sometimes you make enemies. Because people don't like it when you tell them, you're doing it wrong. But you know what? Because we're independent, I don't care who doesn't like us. It don't matter to me one bit. Because I'm interested in one person liking us, and that's God, Almighty God. And if it offends them, and if it offends you, it doesn't matter. We'll keep going without them, and we'll keep going without you. And we love you, and we want you to be a part of it. But we're independent. We're self-reliant. That's why we started in the house. I said, number one, we started in the house to be able to follow a scriptural pattern. Number two, we started in the house to emphasize people. Number three, we started in the house to be independent. Number four, and I'm done right here. We started in the house to set an example for others to follow. You're there in 1 Thessalonians. Go back to 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. Chapter number 3. We already read these verses, but let me show it to you again. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 3. Look at verse number 8. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 3, and verse number 8. 2 Thessalonians 3:8, the Bible says, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable unto any of you. Look at verse 9. Not because we have no power, but to make ourselves, look what it says, an ensample, that word there means an example unto you to follow us. That's why we started like this. You know why we started like this? Because starting like this shows other people that, hey, you can start a fire-breathing fundamental Baptist church in America today. It can still be done. Starting a church like this, you know what this shows other people? Other young men coming up. You know what it shows my sons and other men in this church that Lord willing want to raise up and send out to start churches? It shows them that you don't have to be well-connected. You don't have to be well-liked. You don't have to be well-financed. You don't have to water down the message. You don't have to get rid of the King James Bible. You don't have to get rid of the old hymns. You don't have to get rid of the hard preaching and the tough preaching. You don't have to get rid of anything. All you got to do is preach God's word and follow Him. Hey, God will do it. People say to me, Pastor Jimenez, I don't think you really understand that if you preach like this, the church, you'll never build a church. My response is this: I'm not trying to build a church. The Bible says, unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. The Bible says that it is God that gives the increase. I'm not trying to build. Look, I want you to come, and I want people to come, and I'll be nice to you, and I'll shake your hand, and I'll give you cookies, and I'll do whatever I got to do. But I'm not trying to build a church. God is. Say, so what are you trying to do, Pastor? I'm trying to preach God's word. And I just believe that God will send the right people. God will send the people who will say, I want the Bible. I want the scripture. Can I show you one more verse? We're done. I know I already told you we were done, but... Oh well. Titus, chapter number 1. You're there in first. Go past 1st, 2nd Timothy, go to Titus. What's the goal, Pastor? The goal is to build the biggest church we can build through the power of the Holy Ghost. How will we do it, Pastor? Well, I spent 54 minutes preaching on it this morning. Sanctify yourselves. But in Titus chapter number 1, if you look at verse number 5, the Bible says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to this young preacher, Titus. And the Bible says, for this cause left I thee in Crete. Now, just to understand, Crete is an island. And the Apostle Paul is telling Titus, this young preacher, he said, Titus, I left you in Crete for this reason, for this cause. He says, for this cause left I thee in Crete. Look what it says. That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. That word wanting there means lacking. The things that are lacking. And ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. That word elders there means pastors. Paul told Titus, he said, I left you in Crete that you may, you know, fix the things around there, the things that are wanting, that you should set them in order. But he said, I also left you there that you would ordain elders in every city. He said, your job, Titus, is to train men to go out. Hey, let me tell you, said, what's the goal of Berry Baptist Church? The goal of Berry Baptist Church is not necessarily to become the largest church in Sacramento. The goal of this church is to train men that will go out and reach Carmichael and reach Elk Grove and reach South Sac and reach San Francisco, praise God, and reach Los Angeles and reach other cities. What? That's what we're trying to do. But see, when you teach people that you need money, you need Bible college. You need connections. You've got to know a preacher that has 3,000 people. He better know you or you're not going to get supported. When you teach people that, it becomes impossible. But see, you know what I can tell my kids? You don't need anybody but God. Amen. You don't need anybody but the Word of God. You don't need anybody but just your hands. You can knock on a door and preach the gospel and get people saved. Say, Pastor, why do you preach like this? Because let me tell you something. The nice, encouraging sermon is nice and it's encouraging, but that's not going to help you with your addiction. That's not going to help you fix your marriage. That's not going to help you fix the problem, because the problem you and I have is this one word, sin. And the thing that fixes that sin is preaching like this, out of the Bible, that calls it out and tells you, thus saith the Lord God. That, my friend, you said, I thought we started in the house because you didn't know how to do it right. That may be true too. But no, we started in the house so we could preach like this. Amen. So we could go soul winning like we do here. So we could do, and guess what? A year and 10 months later, without deputation and without selling our souls, we've got a building, we've got a van, we've got a church. It seems like it worked out, huh? For this young, uneducated kid. Looks like it worked out. So why did it work out? Because we followed, here's the thing, the scriptural pattern. If you follow God's word, you'll never go wrong, my friend. When everybody tells you, you're doing it wrong, read this book, you're doing it wrong, I can say, well, I read this book, and we'll just do what God says, we'll see how it works out. You'll never go wrong following this book.
Amen.
Bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I pray for this next week as we've got work that needs to be done. Thank you for a congregation of people, for a group of people you've brought together that say, hey, I want to be a part of that church. I want to get sold down in those things. Father, we love you. I pray you'd help us to be able to finish the work that we have this week. Help us have a great 4th of July service. And then, Lord, like we preached this morning, as we cross that Jordan and we go into that next level of our church, Lord, I pray you'd help us to prepare ourselves by sanctifying ourselves. And that you would work a great work in our midst. We love you, Father, in your precious name I pray. Amen.